Imagine, you're a teacher standing in front of 30 kids, some with special needs, some struggling with reading, some bored out of their minds. You know exactly what they need to succeed, but your hands are tied. Not enough funding, too many useless tests, decisions made by people who have never stepped foot in your classroom. Guys, that stops today. I'm breaking down the three massive changes that could actually fix education if we're bold enough to make them happen. So let's dive in on the Traveling Principal Show. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Joe Clossy. Today, I'm cutting straight to it. Three things that absolutely need to change if we want to stop spinning our wheels and actually move forward here, you guys. Today, we're going to talk Education Reform 2025, special education funding, standardized testing, and empowering states. Let's go. So number one, fund special education correctly. That's the number one issue that we're faced with here at a government level, at a state level, at a district level, at a school level. No two ways about it. For decades, schools have been forced to do more with less in this case. Special education funding has never been fully funded by the federal government, despite mandates requiring services. And that's a very huge factor here, right? So let's talk about that second for a second here, because districts will rob Peter to pay Paul type thing, pulling from general education funding just to meet the minimum requirements. I just had a conversation with an educator in New York today who was telling me the amount of special education staff on their campus at their school site makes up 40% of the staff funding, which is wild. It's not sustainable, and it's not right. Fully funding special education means better resources, more support, equitable learning opportunities for every student, period. And so here's some examples of exactly what I'm talking about, because I don't just want to say what I feel like a lot of people say, which is special education is very underfunded. We get that. But what are we talking about? So the federal government currently covers about 14% of the promised 40% of special education costs under the IDEA. So what does that mean exactly? So when IDEA was enacted in 1975, Congress authorized federal funding to cover up to 40% of the average pupil expenditure for special education services. So every kid that is in special education, the federal government would pay 40% of that kid's cost. However, this commitment has never been fully met.
I thank you.
So the closest the federal contributions came to this target was approximately 18%. And this is according to NAESP.org. 18%. And this was in 2004, 2005, 2006. Since, though, it has back declined to 13%. So we went from 18% in 2004 to today, we're at 13% that the federal government covers of the 40% that they're supposed to, that they mandate states follow in order to provide appropriate special education without suit. Huge fact, okay? So weighted student funding model might be something that we could start to consider here, because I've really seen this in New York City, and then it kind of blew up a little bit, but special education funding should follow a per student needs based formula rather than just flat out allocations. Instead of forcing districts to apply for grants, funding should be automatically distributed. And this is based on a number of students with disabilities and their support levels, mild, moderate, severe disabilities, whatever they are, that school should get exactly the amount that is needed. This would prevent wealthier districts from getting disproportionate funding while lower income schools will struggle. Right? So this weighted student funding model really, really is pretty clean. Also, let's redirect some standardized testing funds, right? Since it seems like we're going to do away with that, the U.S. spends over $1.7 billion annually on standardized tests. Eliminating unnecessary assessments could free up funds for special education staffing, training, technology. Just redirect 25% of state testing, which would be $425 million to special education. This would fund thousands of special education teachers and specialists. Which brings me to my next point. If we get rid of standardized testing, right, and we drop this completely. We spend billions of dollars on standardized testing every year. And it basically tells us what we sort of almost already know. Students in wealthier districts perform better because they have more resources.
What? You don't say. You don't say.
Very simple. Teachers don't need another multiple choice Scantron to tell them who's struggling. They need time, flexibility, autonomy to teach. Scrap the standardized tests, invest in authentic assessments, and let students prove what we already know in meaningful ways, and that's that they can learn, if that's what we had to focus on. So here's some examples of what we're talking about here when we're talking about dropping standardized tests, because if we do, the first question that somebody asks is, well, then how are we going to know, right? Performance-based assessments are when students demonstrate through projects, essays, and presentations real-world problem-solving skills. And I like that, right? New York Performance Standards Consortium replaced standardized tests with portfolio assessments, leading to higher graduation rates and college success. The second thing is competency-based assessments. And when we're talking about competency-based assessments, we're talking about students advancing when they show mastery of a subject rather than moving forward based on seat time. Think of it as middle school with relevance. Okay. How about some teacher-designed assessments and classroom evidence? Why? Because teachers give assessments through essays, presentations, classroom discussions, and ongoing formative assessments every day as a part of the process of the student's learning. And so you mean to tell me that this isn't important enough to rate how well a student is doing? I think we're missing a few parts in that formula. And therein lies perhaps a root of what possible change could look like here. Capstone projects, portfolios, game-based assessments, right? Project-based learning with rubric-based grading, you guys. This is not rocket science, okay? We've been doing this for a while. It's just not been considered because, as we had stated already, $1.7 billion annually is spent by the government on standardized testing. These are major contracts given to who? Education publication companies. If you've listened to the show ever, I've said that for years. For years. Let's move on. So the third thing here is giving states the authority as well as the funding, right? So education could be locally driven, not dictated by Washington, which I really like. But here's the catch. If we're shifting authority to the states, you have to shift the funding too, specifically for equity. Federal dollars meant to support underdeserved communities often come with so many strings attached that schools can't even use them effectively. Let states allocate funding based on real needs, not bureaucratic formulas that ignore the realities on the ground. Okay? I'm going to say that again. Let states allocate funding based on real needs, not bureaucratic formulas that ignore the realities on the ground. Here's what I'm talking about. So, more flexibility to address local needs. I really like this because education challenges in rural Alabama aren't the same as in urban New York City. One size fits all does not work here. States can tailor policies, curricula, funding, and meet the unique needs in their demographics. Very, very, very simple. It would be faster and more efficient with decision making. So instead of bureaucratic delays at the federal levels, which slow progress, if states were to control funding and policy, they can adapt more quickly to these changes. State education departments can respond immediately to shortages, curriculum needs, local economic demands. Okay? We don't have to rely on the federal government. It's starting to sound really nice. Another reason, more accountability to the public and not the bureaucrats. So local voters and parents have way more influence at this, if the states were under control, than the federal policymakers. So do what you want in Florida. Do what you want in California. Do what you want in New York, Texas, Mississippi. Make it relevant to your state. I'm starting to be okay with that. I don't know why I would fight it. If the funding was there and it was given to the states, what's wrong with that? So it would also encourage maybe innovation and competition between the states in a way that could be healthy. Because as of right now, when you see it, it's just like, oh gosh, it's stressful, right? We see who's at the lowest and we feel terrible. We're not like, ooh, this isn't a good list, right? If you look at this as a country on a scale globally, we're not doing well. Even if you're at the top of that list, nobody's impressed anymore. So that's it, you guys. I mean, three critical changes education desperately needs. This is very serious. If we could go back and take a look at how we fund special education, how we can get rid of these standardized tests, and the benefits of giving the control to the states with the funding that is already given, with all of it. Get out of the way. The federal government, get out of the way. Let us do what we need to do. Let us progress. Let us do what's right by kids. And consider that. Do you agree with this or do you disagree with this? If you've liked this show, please share it. Please like it. Subscribe to the channel so you are updated when new shows come out. It would mean a lot if you did. And I want to keep doing this. It is quite taxing, but I'm starting to get some good feedback. And so please share, like, and subscribe if you will. Keep navigating education one journey at a time with me, your traveling principal, Joe Clausy. Take care.